no, you said you love eggs. You're going to eat it like plain. You're going to eat them in their virgin state. And I was like, no.
Ew, don't say virgin like that, bro. Ew.
No.
All of a sudden, she just pounces, you know, maybe that rum got a little bit, was hitting a little too hard. She just pounces. And I was like,
you want me to pretend to be your girlfriend's boyfriend?
That's disgusting.
Santa Fe, oh, are you there?
What is going on? That odd satisfaction.
We're live.
We're live.
Okay, so Patreon viewers will get to see that blooper, but yeah, false start. We're actually live. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up? Miguel here. Missed you, Jeremy.
Yes. What is up, guys? What's up?
So anyone listening, you might be wondering, who's this third face? What's this new voice? Nate and I have our first guest, Jeremy, who we were all friends in New York. Nate's got the New York hat on, but I'm the only one still here. So we're going to ask Jeremy a bunch of questions about why he left New York and what he's doing now. But before then, maybe we do quick introductions for everyone in case Jeremy's bringing some new listeners to the podcast.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, Nate, you go first.
Start. Oh, yeah. Okay, Nate, you go. Okay. Me? Nate, go,
we'll
Nate.
We'll introduce ourselves, like Miguel said. Yeah, so I'm Nate. Yeah, like you said, we're all friends. I live in Taiwan. I train jiu-jitsu, and I'm trying to be like a content creator full-time. I used to be a software engineer, and yeah, that's such a lame intro, but yeah, that's who I am, I guess.
Okay, I'm Miguel. I'm based in New York. I have a boring corporate job for a large global corporate entity. I'm still doing that job. It pays the bills, but I'm also pursuing other things like personal training, online coaching, and potentially stuntman acting and motion capture for video games. We'll see. But yeah, this podcast is about all of us kind of going off the beaten path. And I think of the three of us, Jeremy's got the most experience in that.
I don't know about that. You guys have gone pretty far. You know, you guys have definitely kind of made pretty big strides as far as all that stuff goes. But my name's Jeremy. I live in New York City with Miguel and Nate. I met Miguel at the Muay Thai gym. He's like this stud, loud dude. I couldn't help but be attracted to him at the gym. I was like, dang, I want to be just like him. And I was that new guy. Just kind of watching, and then eventually, finally, we got partnered, and he was all tough. He was all like, yeah, do this, hit, don't do that, turn, and I was like, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then eventually, I met Nate, and Nate, oh, geez, Nate, tell me where we met again, Nate. I think it might have been over some drinking nights in New York City.
Yeah, it might have been out, or it might have been at Miguel's place, maybe like at a Game of Thrones viewing, because Miguel used to host Game of Thrones night every Sunday. I feel like that could have been it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I met you for the first time with Meg, because the first time I met you, you were telling me the story of how you and Meg met. Guys, okay. For those who don't know, Meg is Jeremy's girlfriend, who is also his business partner.
Yep. So on that note, I work in real estate. So we invest, Meg and I, my girlfriend, we invest in short-term rentals and long-term rentals. Kind of the same story with Nate and Miguel trying to break free from the tyranny of the corporate life. But yeah, that's kind of the story. And hopefully we can like unpack that a little bit more.
Well, what were you doing?
Right into it.
What were you doing before then? What were you doing before then? Because you moved to New York for a specific job and then threw that all away, basically.
Yeah, well, actually, I moved to New York City without a job. I was just kind of this lost dude. I was boxing all the time in Brooklyn for a while, and then finally, when I got a job, that's when I could afford Henzo, and that's when I actually met you, Miguel. But no, I worked at this like email marketing technology company that I found after the fact, after I moved to New York City, and that's also actually where I met Meg. So that's what I was doing before, and then just kind of leap of faith, you know, after COVID.
Before we get onto that, actually, why don't you tell the story of how you and your girlfriend met at your corporate job? Because I think it's actually a pretty interesting one. Because I remember when you told me, and that's like, this was my introduction to you. I remember thinking like, well, this is a pretty cool guy.
Oh, jeez. All right, man. Okay, let's start. All right, so So we started around the same time at this company, and you know, like that startup, they kind of want you to go in front of the company and you're going to do like a dance and tell everything, and tell a funny story about yourself and a fun fact. And so they gathered kind of the new recruits, you know, it was kind of that scene where the new recruits in the army sit next to each other on the bus, you know, you just kind of buddy up with whoever you sat next to. And so there was like four people in our our hazing class. And, you know, when it was time to talk about the cool fact about yourself, all these people had amazing things. Like some guy was like, I had dinner with Miss America, and this other guy with this big old giant, and he was just like, I'm the smallest of my family. And I was like, and Meg was like, oh, I went diving like all around the, yeah. And then Meg goes up, she goes, oh, I've been diving all around the world. Do it here, here, and here. And I saw this, and like, I was next, and I was just like, I was just gonna say I like Muay Thai, but now I was like, oh God, I started panicking. I was like, okay, I gotta go back the other way. I was like, hello everyone, my name is Jeremy, and I like eggs. that was the kind of the last one. I couldn't keep up, and I couldn't compete with everyone else. So, and I do love eggs. And,
Shout out to eggs.
And this episode is sponsored by eggs.
It's actually very important.
Yeah,
good bang for your buck. And so I kind of shot myself in the foot, because now all around the company, I was, oh, you're the egg guy. You're the egg guy. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, that's me. I'm the egg dude. And so officially going around doing introductions, I finally get to my girlfriend's department. We worked in different departments. And, you know, she was, oh, yeah, yeah, you're the egg guy. I was like, yeah, that's me. I said, like, throughout the introduction, I said that like 10 times. But she goes, oh, I like eggs. I was like, no, I really do like eggs. She goes, no, I do too. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I like them. I don't think you understand. And she was like, no, I really do. I was like, okay, well, let's eat some eggs together. And like, we'll just, whatever, chill, have a little... Smooth. A little egg.
First date, baby. Just a fuck ton of eggs.
And it was so weird because like 2 weeks later, we scheduled like, oh, okay, let's bring some eggs from home and eat at the lunch table. And I don't know what happened, but the day of one, like somebody told somebody, and then it turned into, oh, Jeremy and Meg are having an egg off. I was like, what the hell is an egg off? And like everybody gathered, like it had been like half the building came. The photographer came out to like, you know, the guy like who like posts all these fun pictures on the website, he like, kind of captures all that. I was like, dude, what the hell is even going on right now?
Oh, and like then, the social media guy for the company was like, look at these corporate events we're having.
There's having an egg off. And then they're like, I was like, guys, we just wanted to eat eggs and just chill. And they were like, no, there's an egg off. And it turned into whoever eats three eggs the fastest. And I was like, well, can I like have some salt or something with it. They're like, no, you said you love eggs. You're going to eat it like plain. You're going to eat them in their virgin state. And I was like, no.
Ew. Don't say virgin like that, bro. Ew.
I know. And then I looked at Meg. She looked at me and they're like, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And I thought we were just going to chill. And Meg starts freaking shoving these eggs down her throat. I was like, oh, hell no. So I started going too. And of course I ended up winning, but that kind of kicked off like, you know, I was kind of being friends.
You guys fell in love.
We did, yeah. It was funny though, because we were working together. So there was like this weird like tension that was kind of bubbling up, because no one said anything for the longest time. Cause it's like, oh, we work at the same place, but it was just kind of like all this, like we're bubbling to the top slowly until like, it was just like, all right, whatever, we can't take it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
So you guys like, I don't know. Did it at the office?
Yeah, well, so actually we started hanging out, like it was like a younger company and everyone was just kind of single. So everyone just went out on like every Friday night. And that was actually kind of fun. But within that, I got into like an in-group, right? And it was like me, May, and like two other friends. And then one time I was just like still kind of newer to New York City. And I was like, oh, where should I eat? She goes, oh, you should eat at this Indian place. And I was like, you should just come with me. She goes, no, I'm at home. I don't want to go yet. And then I was like, well, I'm not waiting for everyone. I'm going by myself, you know? She goes, well, tell you what, why don't you just buy some to go and bring it to my place? And I was like,
ooh. Oh, W risk.
Okay.
Let's go.
I was like, okay. So like I picked up the Indian and a bottle of rum, and I came over to her place.
And bro, not the Indian pre-coitus meal. That's kind of gnarly.
Dude, it happened. It happened. There's no going back. There's no turning back, dude. Yeah, and we came over, started drinking, get a little silly, and then at one point we were just talking all normal. And then she kind of looks off at the side. I was like, what's wrong? And this whole time I'm just like, I kind of liked her, but she was kind of talking to me about other guys that she was dating. So I was like, oh, I'm just me. I'm ugly and stupid, so she's not going to like me. You know, really, but I definitely like had feelings for her. And all of a sudden she just pounces, you know, maybe that rum got a little bit, was hitting a little too hard. She just pounces. And I was like, oh, what is going on?
Go Meg. Go Meg.
And it was so funny. And then after that, she would not even look at me in the office because she was like, I don't want to make it obvious. I was like, people are going to suspect something. People know we're like, cool, we're chill like that. And then she was just like, not even paying me no mind for the longest time. It was funny.
But I mean, do you want to? Do you want to go over? You want to go over a short version of how you tried to hide it from your company for a holiday party?
Oh yes.
Does this company only have personality hires? Like, is any work actually getting done?
You know, I don't know, man.
Don't out them. Pretty, but...
Yeah, it was fun. I really liked some of the people that were great. But the company party comes up and it's like, oh, you know, bring your significant other. And I was like, well, we're not going to bring each other. We're like, maybe we can throw everyone for a loop if we bring someone else. That's our fake date. And I was like, shit, but I don't know who to bring. Who should I bring? Miguel, what are you doing on... And like so, February.
So Miguel is your date?
No.
Tell her.
So we finish up like 2-3 hours of training Muay Thai, and Jeremy pulls me aside afterwards, and we're like walking to the locker room, and he's like, hey, what are you doing on this date in February? And I was like, I'm pretty free, what's up? And he was like, well, so me and Meg, we can bring significant others to our work holiday party. And I was like, oh, cool. Go on. He was like, well, we don't want everyone to know we work together, so I'm wondering if you will go with Meg. And I was like, you want me to pretend to be your girlfriend's boyfriend? Yeah. And then in a like a reactionary way, I was like, do you want Maria to go with you? Do you want my girlfriend to go as your girlfriend?
I was like,
and like, yeah. Both of us dumbasses were like, this is a great idea. They'll totally be down. And then we go to our girlfriends and we're like, hey, so you're going to be each other's dates. We're going to be each other's dates for this holiday party. And they both were just like, did you just sign us up for like a girlfriend swap without our fucking permission?
And it was so funny. And that 1 second, Maria, she goes, wait, you know what? You know what we can do? Me and Miguel can break off after we're introduced as like you're like someone you're dating, and then we can go and like make out by the bathroom, and someone's gonna see and be like,
they're cheating. And then Jeremy and Meg confide in each other, and in confiding each other, they can come out to the company that they're actually together now.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, but what ended up happening was Meg got really sick and she couldn't go, and so we didn't have to go through with this complex, like, how far are we willing to go? Can we kiss? Are we allowed to kiss? And so it ended up just being eventually just me being Jeremy's plus one to the work event.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was pretty fun.
I think that's probably like the more fun side of your corporate job. Mm-hmm. But I do remember you being like, all right, man, this is getting kind of rough and I want to go off and do my own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So what are you doing now?
Yeah. So right now, again, we're just, Meg and I, we invest in real estate. And so at this moment, we're looking to, you know, perfect world, we'd maybe acquire 2 more properties this year, but, you know.
How many do you guys have?
But 2 more properties this year is like to someone who doesn't buy any property. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy shit, you guys are moving.
Yeah. Well, yeah, shooting for the stars. Maybe you land on the moon. I'd be happy with 1 more property this year. Properties we have right now, we have 4, 2 of which are duplexes. So there are like two units within those two properties.
Damn.
So the number of doors, I guess, is six. Total properties, four. Two in Florida, one in Georgia in the Mount Blue Ridge Mountains, and the other in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Who'd have thought? But
and that's the big party house. That's the big party house.
You guys ever seen Newsies?
No.
But can you do that again?
Santa Fe, are you there? I love that fucking movie. I love that musical. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale. That was like OG Christian Bale when he was 18. Mm-hmm. You guys are missing out. He crushed it.
Okay, well, we gotta put that in, or you gotta send it to us. Have him cut in with that snip.
Watch party.
Okay.
So you've got how many different tenants are you dealing with? And
yes,
I guess we can even walk it back after that and start about how'd you pull the trigger?
Yeah, so it was funny. We actually, to kind of even take a little step back, I had moved to Florida during the pandemic just because, you know, we were paying a bunch of money for rent and we didn't want to renew our lease because we didn't want to pay. Yeah, it was COVID. We didn't want to pay New York prices to not be able to do all this New York things. And so we're like, you know what, let's just move in or like live with my mom for a little bit. That's what Meg said. She grew up in the area here. I'm in Tampa Bay area. Let's just kind of chill there and see what happens for the next month. If it opens up, we'll move back to New York City, you know, and then all will be good. We won't have to be locked in for like a year or something like that and just be stuck in a 480 square foot studio. So while we were here, we're like, oh, wow, you know, I'm originally from California. And so I've only lived in California and New York City. And I was like, I made peace that I'd never own a home just because it's almost impossible unless you're filthy, stinking rich. And I was like, in Florida, I was like, wow, you know, home prices are kind of like affordable. You know, what if we got a home? And, you know, it's one of those things how you always sit down with your significant other or your close friend. You have all these dumb business ideas that just kind of like, oh, what if I did this? What if I did this? And I was like, oh, dude, what if we did like an Airbnb thing? Or if we became landlords? We kind of laughed about, but we're kind of, but really, what if, you know, and that turned into like just the next thing. You look into it a little bit, you know, you do like a stupid Google search and just kind of barely wetting your feet. Then it just got a little more serious every time. We're like, oh, you know, the next level was just kind of how to be a landlord. And then it was like, wait, how to buy a home? Wait, then like, how does Airbnb work? How does the loan process work? And it gets kind of like a little bit more deep and deep. And it's like, we're actually kind of getting in this. And that's what happened. I ended up, I was living in our mom's house. That didn't last too long. I couldn't take it anymore. So the original plan was to get an Airbnb and live at the mom's house. And, you know, we'll live there nearby an Airbnb. But I was like, Meg, I can't take this anymore. So we're like, okay, let's buy a home then. We'll, like, first to live first. Then we'll go get, you know, this next investment property. And that's when we entered the duplex type of thing. Because, you know, we can actually live in one side and rent out the other. So we're actually kind of maybe killing two birds with one stone. And this market came out. I was like, Meg, if we don't get a house by like in 2 months, I'm moving back to California and I'm taking you with me. Right? And then this home came up on the market and she was just kind of in like, I got to get him a home or, you know, we're going to like, something bad's going to happen and he's going to move back. I have to go with him. And she goes, put an offer in now. We hadn't even seen the house. It was up for like 5 minutes. And that's what we did. And that's how we got our first property.
Oh, damn. Shit. Really?
Damn.
Yeah. And, but to answer your question, now we're, I don't regret it because, I mean, a little bit of it is timing, a little bit of it was like luck, but, you know, the housing market in Florida just kind of went a little bit nuts and like the values came up during COVID and, you know, we got that COVID interest rate just because it's like, hey, everyone's working remote. Why not live by the beach? Things are cheaper and there's no state income tax. You know, I can just bounce around. Why wouldn't I want to live by the beach and just relax? So like a bunch of people were actually kind of moving from the Northeast in California during this time. But no, Miguel, to answer your question, I manage now three sets of tenants and the two Airbnbs, which are short-term tenants. So, you know, I can manage anywhere between one to three guests a week, different sets of guests on those Airbnbs, or, you know, less depending on how long the stay is or how vacancies looking like.
What's harder? Like, is it even annoying? Like to deal with the long-term tenants, or
okay, because you're committed to them. I have a bigger question on top of Miguel's question, because Ariel was asking me about, like, we need to find ways to be to, like, passively invest our money. Like, would you say this path is, like, completely passive income?
So I'm gonna answer Nate's question first. No, it's like, it definitely requires some work. I mean, it is passive in that, like, the hours that you spend kind of are kind of maximized, and you'll get so much more for the hours you put in. But I wouldn't say it's completely passive. You know, a perfect example is, filling a vacancy, right? You got to go start vetting tenants, and you want to front load all that hard work so you don't have any headaches later. So you really got to put your, you know, put in all the work and, like, do your due diligence up front when you're, like, filling a vacancy. Then it becomes a little bit more passive once you have, like, some good tenants. But prior to that, it's like you got to, this, at least how I do it, is that I will make sure I will do all the preventative maintenance as I can. Because the worst thing is, like, a tenant calls and they're like, the water heater's leaking, or, my AC's not working, or what have you. You know, it's like you want to get ahead of that so those things don't happen. So it's kind of like a well-oiled machine at one point that you just kind of maintain here and there, like something small happens and nothing catastrophic happens. But so to answer your question, short answer is no, it's not complete. It's not passive, depending on how much you take. You can always hire, like, a property manager, but then you have to oversee the property manager a little bit, and also vet the property manager, because, you know, some of them, they have a reputation of being a little bit less careful with your property, just because, you know, you might be another number in their books, and it's just another property, and they're just kind of burning and churning and doing what they do, and they might not be able to give your property as much attention as you otherwise would be. And so for the most part, like me right now, it is pretty passive because I have good tenants and the properties are in decent shape, right? So I would say on average, maybe once every 3 months, we'll get like a maintenance request. Like we had...
That's not bad.
And it's like I don't know, the last one was like a leaking water heater, and, you know, that's just a phone call away. And I think a lot of people are like, oh my gosh.
Right. I got a guy too. You know, we all got a guy for...
Exactly, right? You got Uncle Ernie, right? That knows how to fix anything. But yeah. It's not as hands-on as some people. It's not as passive as some people think, but it's also not as hands-on as some people would think. Like,
you're like, okay, you're so going to have to, like, be going... Work to, like, payoff ratio, right? Like, let's just say I took out a fat loan, like, in the same amount that you took out for your first property. Mm-hmm. And instead of, like, buying a property, I just, like, invested into the S&P 500. Because I think that had, like, a 34% return over last year. And that's literally so passive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like...
So...
I mean, obviously, yeah, it's not insane. Consistent. And we're probably due for, like, a big recession, you know, fingers crossed or whatever. But what are your thoughts on, like, the, like, classic investing versus, like, you know, rental properties or whatever.
Right. So I've actually, this home that I'm talking about, my first property, the first duplex, I bought it for $260. It is crazy, right? $260. You'll never see that anywhere in, like, New York City or California. Yeah. But, like, there are actually specific loan programs that you can use that put very little down. So it's not like I'm coming to the table with $260K up front, or not, you know, not even 20%. I put 3% down because... there are, again, loan programs that want to incentivize people to buy homes, you know, and they will, like, want people to realize the American dream. And so if it's your first home, you can put 3% down, right? So 3% of 260, what is that? Like, I don't know, not even like 10 grand, you know what I mean? And then a couple other, like, costs to close the loan, they call it closing costs. And, like, I'm in a house for maybe like 12 grand at the end of the day. And yes, that's more. It takes a little bit more than you could invest into, like, the stock market, right? You can probably put as little as you want in the stock market, which is completely passive. But I feel like the really amazing gains that you get from real estate is, one, you have to underwrite the properties or analyze the property and make sure that the cash flow that's coming in is, like, gonna consistently be maybe around like 12-13%, because if it's not, then, you know, you could obviously put that into, like, I don't know, some kind of mutual fund that might give you like 8, 9 or 10. So you kind of want to beat that to make it worth the extra time. But also you have like the appreciation gain on top of that, right? So for example, that house that I bought now is worth about 380 over the course of, I don't know, two, three years. And can this, I mean, again, it's a little bit of a stroke of luck, but you know, how well can the stock market do that? Sometimes, sometimes not. But then you get the tax benefits of owning property too, right? Which is pretty amazing. And that's like this whole other thing that, you know, it's a bit of a can of worms, but pretty much from owning property, Meg, or even I was able to too, was able to write off her active income. So her 9-to-5 that she's working, you know, that 30% you pay from living in like New York City after it's said and done, we got a check from the IRS giving us all of that back. You know what I mean? So it's like, they also, it's like, it's a little bit, the tax is kind of, it's made by the rich for the rich, I feel like. So the rich can get richer sometimes.
Oh, shout out to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That book taught me that the tax code is, that book taught me, like, at least it taught me one thing, that the tax code is written for rich people. It's not really written for poor people. Like, it's as lengthy as it is because there's loopholes for rich people and business owners. That's what I took away.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they call it. There's like the specific thing I was talking about is called the short-term rental tax loophole, where she was able to pretty much pay, you know, out of pocket or defer like her taxes that she would have otherwise paid. And it was like a crazy, you know, how much you pay in taxes. It's like, it was like a check for 20 grand, you know what I mean, that we got back. And so there's like those incentives too, you know, and of course the
Are you worried at all about the Airbnb laws and stuff like that, that are like been kind of surfacing in different states? I know like New York City has been cracking down on it a little bit.
Yeah. So I think right off the bat, I'm going to say like a little bit of regulation is actually good, right? Because one, it's not the Wild West and people are just not doing, you know, whatever they please. Cause that is kind of, it can be a little bit harmful, you know, to the locals and stuff. But from like a host perspective or business owner perspective, it actually acts as a kind of a barrier to entry a little bit, you know, because a lot of people, when they see regulation.
Right. Yeah. Keep the poor investors, people out. No, no. Gross. Gross. So, no, no. more for you, Jeremy. Yeah, no. I hear you.
No. It's just when there's regulation, some investors, they
really write that off. Right.
Yep. Like they don't want to deal with it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh my gosh, there's some regulations. Like I don't want to even mess with that. So it's like, if you just take a little bit of time to understand what those regulations are, it's just kind of, some of it is like, oh yeah, you need to make sure you're, you know, it's fire safe. And there's like follows certain, like for example, in Santa Fe, we had to have X number of fire extinguishers. You know,
yeah,
you need
I
to
think
have,
like even, I feel like you even getting into this, like a lot of people weren't willing to put in like the Google search research to like how to get the loan or whatever like that. I feel like that inertia, most people don't have it in them to like get going. Like, I mean, you know, me and Miguel talk about it a lot, but yeah, like Miguel, I feel like is great at building momentum. Like you're freaking working on like becoming a stuntman now, dude, or like working in action scenes. And did we talk about this in the episode that didn't get aired about you doing motion capture?
Yeah, we can get into that later. I have some questions for Jeremy because you mentioned just listening to you, clearly like you went from kind of like 0 to 100 with understanding like how to manage property. Like if I asked you this 3-4 fucking years ago, you would be like, I don't know, dude. You know, you don't come from a background where someone would say, oh, you're like, you're perfectly set up to transition to this kind of job. In the past recording, the one that we lost, you actually made a comment about how, like, if you do anything for 8 hours a day, you're obviously going to become a fucking expert at it. And so we went from being experts at like these corporate to-do lists to like a bunch of different other things. And so like hearing you talking about like regulations for Airbnbs or like getting what you can out of tax loopholes, like what did your 8-hour workday look like at the beginning of this, and kind of like now that it's slowing down, what does it look like now?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure you guys have went through this too, but the first phase is kind of just like that education phase, right? Because you know nothing about anything. And like you said, I didn't have a background. I don't think any of us, when we started, had a background in like, you know, starting our own like business or side hustle or whatever you want to call it. It's just kind of literally like, there's nothing fancy. It's just kind of dirty. You sit down in front of a computer and you start Googling. So to learn what you don't know and trying to find out, you know, again, that saying, you don't know what you don't know, and trying to like cover all those bases as much as you can. So I spent a good amount of time. If you were to ask, like, you know, how many hours did I put in? I would say probably like 2 to 3
day. Wait, what? 2 to 3? Oh.
2 to 3 hours after like the work day, you know what I mean?
That pause is too long, bro. 2 to 3. Yeah. I was like, what?
Two, 3 hours a day, I would say, for like when I was first starting and I was like, you know, I'm committing to this. And then it fluctuates and tapers off a little bit. But especially when I actually.
Did you do it on company time?
a little bit, you know, it's great. It's like, yeah, getting paid to do your side hustle. To develop your side hustle. Yeah. It's like that satisfaction of shitting while you're on the company, on the company clock, it's
on company time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, yeah, I'm shitting. I'm getting paid to shit. It's like you kind of that satisfaction.
Nate, I think you and I took that to another level when you were in New York, where you were just like, "Fuck it, I'm training jujitsu in the middle of the day." I was getting my personal training certification like during my slow days, where I'm just like, all right, I'm just gonna like do the test. And the people are like, are you busy, Miguel? I'm like, I'm at my computer, I'm here if you need me, but I'm doing other shit. So it's like, I think people know how to like manage their time that way. Saying basically 2-3 hours after work, you were just like, I'm gonna
spread out through the day. I'm not gonna say after work, like, you know, just a day. And then of course sometimes the weekends it might go up, it might go down. And it wasn't really like pretty at all. It was just kind of bouncing around at first, because again, like, you don't know anything about the process, or so you're just kind of like, I was like, oh, what's a loan? How does a loan work? What's the buying process to a home? What is short-term rental? What are the softwares that they use? What is like tenant landlord laws in Florida? You know, it's kind of like all over. Oh wait, I need to know about plumbing, because people say I'm gonna have to go plunge a toilet all the time. So how does a toilet work? You know, it was just really scattered for a little bit.
How much toilet plunging did you do?
Yeah, zero. I didn't know anything. I was like, you know, people was like, oh, you gotta go plunge toilets. But the main thing is like, I've never plunged a toilet. I've never had to call anyone to plunge a toilet. I had a
leak. Didn't you have to exterminate like some pest problem or something?
Oh, I did. This was in Santa Fe. I could talk like a whole story about each and every property and what we've done. But one of my favorite ones is in Santa Fe that you guys brought up. I remember crying to Miguel one time on the phone. I was like, Miguel, it's so cold in Santa Fe. I thought Santa Fe was a desert, but it's like snowing. And like, you know, it was like kind of a buildup from when I got it. And then I was like, dude, I'm like, there's like a mouse and rat infestation here. We knew it was a thing, but it's a lot worse than we thought. And the pest guy was like, I'll do it for $5,000. And I cried and said, I'll do it myself, you know, because I didn't want to pay him $5,000. And so Miguel goes, it was insane. And I don't know. You know, some people want to get rich off you out there. But I was like, you know what, whatever. I'm gonna do this myself, because 5,000 still means a lot to me. And I kind of liked pest control, because living in Florida, there are bugs everywhere and I hate bugs. So I got into this whole thing about pest control. And that's a whole other thing. Meg got me, end up for my birthday, when she got me like a battery powered bug sprayer, and she got me some like industrial grade pesticides. But anyway, so I was like, you know, exactly. I was like, woo. But, you know, I never dealt with rodents before, so this was, like, a little bit different. But, yeah, so then I set up some traps, sealed the place, and...
What's the best rodent trap?
The best rodent trap... Well, first is to seal off the outside. You need to stop them from coming in first. So that's the first thing, because if you kill the ones inside and there's like an entry point, more will just keep coming in. So the first step
is to go around. What you should have done is maybe like taken the biggest one and like left its entrails at the doorway for any and all intruders.
That's Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Vlad the Impaler.
It's like, this is your alpha. This is what's going to be.
We've killed your god.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's what I should have done. But, yeah, just regular snap traps, man. Those work. They're just a different variety of them because, I don't know, it's quick. You know, they're relatively inexpensive. Bait? Mm-hmm. That was eggs? A funny thing, too. Oh, I should have. That would have been a good thing. You know, I would have kept... would have caught a bunch of things. With the eggs, and oh my gosh, that just reminded me of a story about how I remember, I don't know if you remember Miguel, but I remember talking and I was like, dude, so we have peanut butter, we got beef jerky and Oreos. And I was like, Meg really thinks the Oreos are going to work, but I don't know, like peanut butter usually works. And I was like, I don't know, you know, let's kind of see what happens. Everything took the Oreos, all the mice in Santa Fe and rats loved Oreos for some reason. So, yeah, anyways. And then every day I was sending Miguel pictures of these mice that I was killing. I was like, dude, we got one.
Gross.
We got one. And I would chuck them into
the... Gross. Wait, Miggy, so did you, like, open your phone? Like, you wake up 7 a.m. and just see, like, dead rats?
The first day I was like, I hope Jeremy's doing good with, like, his project. And he's just, like, sending me pictures of, like, mice. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Then he starts explaining the story. And then it's not just like it's like one or two a day, but like this is going on for an extended period of time.
Yeah. And then he goes and like,
it's winter. It's winter time. Funny. So it's winter time. And so these bodies are just freezing and he's stacked them. He's like, piled them.
Ew, bro. Actually smart. Monument to their demise.
Yes, it's like the stack of skull, human skulls, right? Before the entryway to the temple, the forbidden temple or something like that.
Yeah, and I was like, is this every day for you? Is this what it's like to be like a property manager? Mm-hmm. And he's just like, this is just what I'm going through right now.
Yeah, and it's so funny, man. He goes, wait. So like, is your life just killing mice in the snow now? It was just so funny. He's like, what the hell is even going on? Like, you know.
So then who do you think has it figured out? The property manager who kills mice at their property or the pest control guy who charges the property managers $5,000 to kill mice at all their properties? Like, who do you think is winning there?
Oh, dude, I don't know. If he's really killing mice for $5,000, and I don't know, how many is he getting every month, dude? Because, dude, sign me up. I'll go kill some rats or fuck him. But I don't know. Again, like, just to get to some numbers, like, that property now, it's been actually running for a year now. And when we talk about cash flow, that's, like, kind of after all expenses, mortgage, electrical, you know, maintenance, everything. It's been averaging about $3,900. And so while that's not $5,000 a month killing rats, I think that's pretty close, you know, and we get the equity tax benefits and the debt pay down from the guests. Just to put in perspective a little bit, if we want to dive into the numbers, so kind of like that's what, you know, a good investment property looks like for short-term rental.
Yeah, that's lit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Jeremy, in terms of like, we were talking about inertia earlier and like how... a lot of people come up with ideas and they're excited about something like, oh, I'd love to be a stuntman, or I'd love to have a house for myself, or I'd love to teach jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would like to do something and then they just kind of like, all right, well, whatever, and move on. Mm-hmm. And like Nate was saying, some people are willing to just kind of like take the plunge and get past that inertia, get past that threshold where you actually start to like apply your time and you commit your resources towards actually pulling that off. Like, I'm sure a lot of people, if they're listening, and even just myself listening to you, is like taking the plunge to decide to like buy a house, and then the next, I think within a year, you were like, yeah, we have three properties now. And I was like, what the hell? Like, it all happened so fast. Like, kind of what advice do you have for like people that are like standing on the edge and like too nervous to jump and take the plunge for something that they feel strongly about?
Yeah. Oh man, this is a good one. Well, the first thing I kind of always ask is like, well, you know, are you kind of happy where you are now? And like, what are you doing now? And how much would that change if whatever it is you're thinking about went worst case scenario and totally south, right? Because like, for example, when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, what if I buy this house and it explodes or whatever and I go bankrupt?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you got so many fire extinguishers in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
The mice came back for revenge.
Yeah, they didn't like what I did to their fearless leader. So.
They brought their dad.
Yeah, they brought their big brother. Yeah, and okay, so, you know, I was working that 9 to 5. You know, I would save an X amount of money every month, put the rest away, and that's kind of what I did, you know, and I kind of slowly had like a bit, some cash reserves just for me to use and for us to be silly in the city, right? The three of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if everything exploded and I was left with zero, like how would my life change? I was like, well, I'd probably get a job. Okay, let's just say I get a job similar to what I had previously. And you know what? I'd probably save X amount of money. I'd put some away and I'd save some for cash reserves. And like, how would my everyday life change? Like, not too much. Maybe for that first moment where I'm like, when I'm going zero to, I don't know, save like $5,000 to use, you know what I mean? I'd be a little bit more frugal. But after that, it's like, even now, or when I was working the job, I wasn't spending millions, you know, I was still pretty like, I think my spending habits would be the same regardless. So it's like, everything goes bad, I would just go back to working 9 to 5, and you know, my quality of life wouldn't change too much, right? And that was kind of my first thought, like, okay, well, the worst thing is that I will be exactly where I'm at, for more or less. You know, I just might not have like stacks and boatloads of cash or whatever, but you know, my actual day-to-day wouldn't change too much. And the next thing after that was kind of like, well, what are the, you know, a lot of people like to talk about, obviously run through the risks of taking this step, whether it be, you know, some kind of side hustle, but like also thinking like, what are the risks if I don't take this, right? And this kind of comes back to, you know, are you happy with where you're at? Well, the risk for me was like, well, I'm going to be unhappy. I'm going to be spending 8 hours of my life doing this. And, you know, the mental like anxiety or whatever, what have you, you know, people deal with work differently. People don't like the 9 to 5 and people like the 9 to 5 for all sorts of reasons. And you know, it's a little bit more, maybe closer to home, but like the tech layoffs that have been happening over the past like year or two, it's like, well, you know, if that happened, like, what are the risks there too? You know, if I'm building this other like revenue stream. So just kind of flipping the script a little bit and being like, well, what are the risks if I don't take this? You know, instead of kind of narrowly focusing on what are the risks if I take this too helped. And again, it's like, well, I don't know thing. The next thing is like, I don't know, you know, this is like, I don't even know where to start. Well, the thing is like, Miguel, you're mentioning like, some people are really good at the 9 to 5. You know, there's some people that you see, and obviously some people that aren't too, but people that are just really good at what they do. And again, if you spend 8 hours a day doing, it's like, I don't even spend 8 hours a day, you know, learning real estate and figuring out what to do. And I've made it like this far so far. You know, I mean, imagine if you spent 8 hours a day doing, you know, whatever it is. Like, Nate, if you did jiu-jitsu for 8 hours a day, or Meg, you and I did Muay Thai for 8 hours a day, like, how good would we be over the course of a year? You know, but people...
Jeremy, I have done jiu-jitsu for 8 hours a day, and I'm already good, so...
Right, except for Nate. Nate's been there, done that, so just us mere mortals, me and Miguel, if we did Muay Thai for 8 hours a day, you know, how good could we be?
I mean, but that's a good point.
You probably wouldn't be that good, because you'd have so many concussions.
Yeah,
probably. No,
but, but hypothetically, that's a good point, because like, that 8 hour grind You're just making yourself really good at this like created job, which is a gear in a giant machine of like corporate America. And so I think one of the tricks, and this is coming from someone that's still in a corporate job, but like one of the things they do is that you have this like sense of security, like, okay, I know what my day is going to look like and I know how much I'm going to make every single 2 weeks. I know my paycheck. I have the security, like, you know, and the thing is, I think a lot of people will just kind of like ride that wave of security. And then before they know it, they're like in their mid 40s or late 40s or early 50s. And they're like, oh, we're doing a wave of layoffs. And you guys are like overpaid because you've been with the company a long time. And it's kind of like what you said, where it's like, all right, well, what happens? What's worst case scenario if you don't make any of those like backup decisions? Like if this is the only skill I have and then we get laid off or get replaced by AI, then it's like, well, now what do I offer the world? Because I just only know this like one job over here. I think like when COVID hit, it actually forced a lot of people to answer that question, because there were a lot of layoffs and people were like, you know what, now's my chance to do something different. And like, there's a person I'd like to have on as a guest in the future who was basically like, okay, I'm just going to start like my own company with like consulting with like floral design. And now it's like, that's very different than what she was doing before. And now she like really likes and looks forward to how she spends her day versus just like, you know, putting in time for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that'll be a fun future guest. With that, we are going to move on to the bonus segment. Okay, guys, I looked up some Gen Z slang, and we're going to end this.
Oh, no.
We're going to end this pod, and you're going to tell me first if you know the word, and then whether you know it or not, tell me what you think it means, okay? We're going to go rapid fire on these, all right?
Oh, Jeremy, Miguel.
Okay, Jeremy.
Okay, yoink.
Pulling
pool,
out during.
Pool.
Pulling no, out
it's like to
sex.
Do something. It's like to maybe if you could like yoink real quick. It's like to do something real quick. So you might yoink out, you know. Okay, let's see. All preppy.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Rich.
Rich. Yeah, rich. Bougie.
Yeah. I feel like preppy is kind of making its way back. It's a little different now, though. I agree. Bougie. Okay. Okay, have you heard this one? Skill issue.
Skill
like you
issue.
Suck? You suck.
Skill issue. Basically, wait. You suck. Yeah, basically you suck. Like, if you don't know how to rent a property, skill issue.
Oh,
so it's
okay.
Like you're dumb. Like it's you're lacking in a
basically,
certain
basically.
Field.
It's like it's something you say after like that. So like, dude, yeah, you can't do a double leg. Skill issue.
Yeah. Or like you trip. Skill issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yap. Like yap.
Running your
talkative.
Mouth.
Yap sesh.
Like a talkative guy.
Yeah, running your mouth.
Okay, kind of, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, when your wife comes home after a long day and she just tells you all about her day and it goes on for like an hour and she just had a big yap session. All
right. It sounds like you're venting right now.
No. I love our yap sessions. Wife, if you're listening, I love our yap sessions. Okay, chat. Have you heard of chat? Like, hey, chat.
Talk?
Oh, chat. Like anyone eavesdropping? I was just kind of like, hey,
speaking to
the ether.
Chat is like a reference to like live streaming. So it's like live streamers would be like, chat, I think, what should we do today, chat? Or like, that was a W chat. But people are using it more colloquially. So it's like, you could just say chat as if there's no actual chat. Like, chat, I think she's lost here. Or chat, skill issue.
And someone just walking by and they're like, who is he talking to? He's always streaming. Okay.
I'm sure you guys have heard this one, Riz. I use this one a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Charisma.
Yes, charisma.
Kind of.
It's like
kinda,
swag.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
like he's got
like,
cool Riz
do you know,
or something.
Do you know like L Riz or W Riz?
I mean, like loss and win.
Is it?
Kind of, yeah.
Know,
like
man.
W Riz is like good. L Riz is like bad. Like Meg
like
has
Meg
W
has,
Riz.
Meg has W Riz. Meg
yes, sir, has yes, W sir, Riz. Yes, sir.
She's
yes,
like, sir, I'm going to conquer this little Vietnamese boy in my living room.
Okay. Standing on business.
Taking care of business?
Stop kinda, preventing
yeah.
it?
No, it's like taking things into your own hand. Like, they were standing on business, you know? Like, LeBron was standing on business during the finals against the Warriors.
Oh, so taking ownership.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the last one. Gyat. I hope I said that right. Gyat.
God damn!
Nah, I think I heard that in, nah. Are they saying that in songs? Right?
Yeah, isn't it like god damn?
They say it, like the, it in songs.
I heard it in some songs, but I never knew exactly what they were saying.
It's a
fat butt. Is it like saying like wow? Butt. Like, oh god damn.
No, she got a gat. They got that gat.
What? Okay. What? I challenge that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Last one. You can't challenge shit, Boomer. Okay, last one. Bombastic side eye. Bombastic side eye.
I mean, that's obviously when someone does something questionable and you give them
kind of. Yeah, like it sounds like pretty literally a side eye, like a hard side eye.
Yeah. Okay. Pass. I don't know. So someone in chat, please count up how many times they got it.
Yeah, chat. Right, okay. Let us know. Let us know how legit we were, how close we were, or who is the most boomer.
I'm scared to say these words because I don't want to be judged. If I was like gat, and they're going to be all like, ah, look at that dude saying gat.
Oh, are we that age?
In my head. I don't know.
Oh,
I think so.
Shit. Okay. Wait. That was a great episode, Jeremy.
I got something too. I don't know who's listening, but I do need to call someone out. There is another person on this earth named Miguel Mariano, and I challenge you to a fucking duel because you're ruining my life. This guy is on the international watch list, so whenever I return from an international flight, I am on the terrorist line. And this guy also filed for bankruptcy and ended up closing all my shit. So if you're listening, Miguel Mariano, I'm fucking coming for you, dude.
All right, follow up to that in the next episode. You guys will have to tune in. Thanks, Jeremy, for coming on. Mm-hmm. And guys, if you're watching on YouTube, leave comments and questions, and we will answer them in the next episode. Thanks for having
me. Nate, where can we find you?
Oh, yeah. Nate. You can find me on Instagram as Anchovies or on YouTube and TikTok as Who's Nathaniel Cho.
And how can we support you and the page?
Oh, sponsored by the Patreon. My Patreon is patreon.com/NathanielCho. And we are going to... We're deciding whether we're going to open a Patreon specific to the podcast or not. Let us know in the comments if you guys think we should do that.
Jeremy, where can we find you? Where can we find this dope party house in Santa Fe where we know that the spirits of the mice and rats will be there to haunt
10 million rats.
That's so funny. Oh, geez. I don't have a social media account for that one yet. I do have one for the cabin, though. It's the aviary, I think. I'm terrible with this. So,
how do you spell it?
Aviary.
Aviary. Oh, so you got the at the Avery? Aviary?
Yeah, aviary. I think I might have spelled that wrong. But I will send it to Nate. So if you want to find it, follow Nate.
Sick. And you can find me at Miguel Mariano, M-I-G-L Mariano. I'm trying to be a stuntman. So if you want to watch me get punched in the face and, you know, sell it and maybe be somebody's stunt double, like the guy from Shang-Chi, then you know, help build my following and get me viral, all right? Okay. Yeah. Also find me on Venmo Miguel - Mariano if you want to help me.
Oh, I will for sure add that in post to our little thing. All right, that was awesome, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, love you, bye.